The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
All right. Yeah, I feel like, by the way, welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Ryan McKee sitting in for Paul. I haven't done that in a while. It's great to say that, yeah. Call Raymond. I feel so bad. I met Taylor Hicks for the first time last fall. We were on the road for Marty McGee and SEC Nation, and he was down in Tuscaloosa and showed up, and he'd just done the show with Paul. He stood there and talked to us for like an hour, and I felt like an idiot because I listened to the show a lot. I don't watch it a lot, so I didn't know.
That's who you're talking
to. I love Taylor Hicks. Love him. I voted for him. Called into the American Idol that he won. But what a great dude. We were standing there talking to him for a while, and trying to think, it was a boxer walked up, and his daughter was touring Alabama, like as a potential student. I was like, this is super weird. But Taylor Hicks, great dude. Taylor, if you're listening, man, what's up? He kept saying, I want to come with Marty McGee and play live music. I'm like, well, we have live music on the show. So I'm all for that. You know what? Charles in Louisiana is on the line.
Great,
Charles, what's going on, son?
Talking to him for a while.
I just want to ask you a question, Mr. McGee.
Yeah.
What do you think about the coach in LSU? You think he's going to do any good?
All right. So here's the thing about Brian Kelly. I have always had great interactions with him. I'll say this. When he got the job at Notre Dame, and I don't know how many years he was there. It was more than a decade, right? It was like 15 years. 12 years. When I first met Brian Kelly, he was at Cincinnati. He was coaching in like the Mayo Bowl is back then. It was like the Meineke Car Care Bowl or something. And then when he got the job at Notre Dame, the first time I interacted with him was when the kid got killed on the video crew. And I had been on the video crew at Tennessee, and I'd written about it. And it was just a really, really tough spot. And then I dealt with him a little bit when they made the BCS championship game against Alabama. And then I didn't talk to him for years. And then went back 3 or 4 years ago, and Notre Dame was making a playoff run, and I'd not been to Notre Dame in forever, and I was stunned at what they had done at the stadium. Notre Dame Stadium, they had finally pulled out the old wooden redwood bleachers that literally Newt Rockne had put in the 1930s. And there was this huge protracted fight to get the old analog clock taken out of the end zone and replaced by a video board. And when I say video board,
like
it ain't much bigger than one of these monitors in the place. So my point of all this is he's good at what he does, but he just it's just been bizarre watching this introduction to LSU. He can coach football. I no question in my mind. And I think he can handle the politics of the job. But how he's handled the introduction is a little has been interesting,
weird,
to say the least.
Okay, one more question. What do you think about Dennis Allen and the Saints' new coach?
Say that again?
The new coach of the Saints, Dennis Allen.
Oh, yeah, Dennis Allen. No, I mean, listen, there's going to be an adjustment just because the Saints fans are spoiled because they had the same coaching staff in there forever. It just doesn't happen in the league. So there's going to be a little bit of a transition. But, no, I think it'll be great. But it's just
– You think he's good?
Yeah. I think that two great coaches have taken jobs in New Orleans and Baton Rouge. I just think it's going to take a minute to probably get them to where they're going. And I just hope everybody's patient enough to let that happen. But yeah, I think they'll be all right.
Okay, that's great. If you're doing a great job, I just want to let you know.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Thank you, Charles.
Okay.
It's always good to hear from you. Yeah. Honestly, I was glad Charles asked about football because I feel like right now all the conversation is about NIL and transfer portal and the future of the game. And like every week we do a ESPN.com college football writers Zoom call. And I learn so much every week when we do that. Mark Slaybaugh is always on the call. He'll be joining us in about 10 minutes to talk about his way too early top 25. But that's what the conversation is about all the time, and it's understandable. But, man, it is really nice to just get a straight up – like a football question. Is the coach going to be good? Cameron in St. Louis on the line. Cameron, what's up?
Brian.
How we doing?
How are you, my boy?
Good.
I'm out here from Columbia, Missouri. And first question, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this upcoming Mizzou football team.
I think they're headed in the right direction. I like Drinkwitz a lot.
Okay.
I think that, you know, obviously, I mean, Missouri is always going to have to work a little harder than everyone else just because of who they are and who's in their division and who's in the conference. But I like Coach Drink a lot. I first met him at East Carolina. And then the one year he was a head coach at App State, I went up there and wrote a story with him and spent a whole day with him. I like him a lot. He's super, super smart. And I think if they'll let him do his thing, I think they'll be okay.
Of course, of course. I mean, it seems like every year, you know, we got, you know, those top SEC schools in the schedule, you know, that we won't get past. You know, Georgia, we play again this year. We play Florida. But, I mean, this is a recruiting class that is scheduled to be the best in program history. So, pretty excited about it. I'm pretty sure KU's, you know, shaking in their boots a little bit. So,
well, here's the thing. When you have a guy as smart as Drink is and is an admitted nerd, I mean, he loves to – I've talked with him about motorsports because he's fascinated by crew chiefs who look at the rule book and find the gray area to find, you know, where can I get an advantage over the guys that have more money and have more toys than I do. And so in the transfer portal era, I think it leans into guys like Drinkwitz, like Shane Beamer, the smart guys. You know what I mean? I mean, they're all smart. But I'm just saying, I think that
I think he's
– if anybody's going to be able to crack the code on that stuff, you know, to find an advantage, it's going to be a guy like that.
Right, of course, of course. Yeah, so going along with that team, you know, obviously our basketball team didn't live up to their expectations. So, you know, I'm really, really hoping Drinkwitz can kind of bring in that mentality of, you know, bringing back all these sports combined, you know, bringing this entire sports program back to history, you know. Like Mizzou fans haven't seen this in, you know, years and years, ever since, you know, some of the good football players we got, you know, obviously Jeremy Macklin, Dennis Rakestraw, some of those good players. So, you know, I'm excited, but, you know, my top priority is, you know, just be better than KU, you know.
Yeah. Take that first and then work on the other stuff. Thanks for the call, man.
Yeah. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah. No, it's. Got, I think, 13 or 14 starters coming back from a year ago, and you're like, okay, that team finished under 500, but made a bowl game, had some big moments. And to me, in the era of transfers and in the era where you're going to have a lot of guys on teams that have been there a year, tops, it's going to be a little bit like college basketball. I think there's going to be an advantage. There's going to be a cycle. In a program like Missouri, when you have a roster that's full of 4 and 5 year guys. We saw it with the COVID rules, the super seniors. There's an advantage to having grown-ups on the field. And so with Missouri, with all the starters coming back, and again, I like Drink. I think he's funny. He's sneaky funny. Watch his press conferences because it is super entertaining. All right, hopefully this show has been somewhat entertaining. Ryan McGee sitting in for Paul Feinbaum. You can join us, 855-242-PAUL. Mark Schlabaugh, who's always entertaining, going to join us up next to talk about his latest edition of the Way Too Early Top 25.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show. Ryan McGee sitting in for Paul because Paul's he's out there speaking, man, spreading the gospel of Paul. Yeah, the book of Paul. That's what he's doing. He's out there.
He was one of the apostles.
Yeah, he was. We have apostles all over this show. We got biblical character. Daniel. Yeah. Yeah, Mark. Yeah, we got a full of Randy. There was a There was a Raymond. Wasn't there a Raymond in the Bible? Yeah. Raymond was the guy that, like, carried the wine bottles in. Yeah. You want this water?
He rolled up the scrolls.
Yeah. he pressed the scrolls. These scrolls is wrinkled. All right, speaking of the gospel and truths and maybe some untruths, if you're on ESPN.com today on the front page and also particularly the college football page, it's the latest edition of the Way Too Early Top 25, which is always an outstanding conversation starter. We started the show with it, as a matter of fact, today. And the author of said poll joins us now, I'm assuming probably from a golf course somewhere. Schlayball, you doing all right?
I'm doing well.
What's
I got a Bama guy down back. I got a Bama guy down big.
Oh, good.
With three emergency holes, so we're good.
Did you you got him down big, but you're like, hey, dude, it's okay because I had Alabama number one in the Way Too Early top 25.
I told him this must feel just like Indy.
So when a proud Georgia alum with children at Georgia who lives in Georgia, when you put Georgia at number three, there have been years where you probably got slaps on the back and free beers out of that. When you put them at three coming off a national championship, are people mad at you or do they understand?
Probably understand. I think if they watch the NFL draft, when is that, next week or the week after, they'll probably understand even more. I think if you just look what they're losing on defense with Walker and Jordan Davis and Devontae Wyatt and N'Kobe Dean and Channing Tindall. I mean, they're probably going to have four defensive guys go in the first round, a couple more, three more in the second. Sean will probably go in the second round, late first. You know, it's just a lot to replace, but I think with the way Kirby's recruited and what they've got coming back on offense, you know, I think they're easily the favorites in the East and would put them a notch below Bama right now. But, you know, the question we're always going to get, McGee, is Stetson Bennett at quarterback. And I heard after the spring game that Carson Beck should be starting, and I laughed. But, you know, it's going to be the first offseason where Stetson Bennett has got the majority of snaps with the number one offense during the spring and led everything during the summer. And he'll get the bulk of the first team snaps during fall camp because he really didn't get any practice reps until JT Daniels got hurt.
So what, I want to ask you about him. Stetson Bennett fascinates me. We'll get back to the Way Too Early top 25 in a second. But, I mean, you know this. I was in Athens the week after the national championship because my daughter's visiting colleges, and people were already asking me if I really thought Stetson Bennett should stay at Georgia. He was a folk hero for about 2 days, like working down at Zaxby's and all that stuff. Where is the Georgia mindset with the quarterback who just won the national championship?
I think there is a very vocal minority that didn't want him to come back, that felt like it was Brock Vanderlyn or Carson Beck's time, and that Stetson won a national championship, should go back out on top. But again, like I just said, I mean, the guy earned the job and did a really capable job last year, made a couple of huge throws in the national championship game to win that game, and it's the first time I've ever seen part of the fan base pissed off that he came back. I mean, it's insanity. I mean, the guy should be the poster child for what's great about college football. This is a kid that grew up in South Georgia that wanted to play for the Georgia Bulldogs his entire life and was undersized and didn't have a big enough arm and, you know, wasn't fast enough, and yet he was the first quarterback in 41 years to lead him to a national championship. I think the sensible Georgia fans appreciate the story and are ready to roll with him again, but, you know, there's a part of them that think the offense was limited and injuries at receiver and other things didn't have anything to do with it. But, you know, I think the kid's a great story.
I just remember being on the field after the game and they're trying to get him to go up on the podium to get his award, and some big offensive lineman grabbed him and said, dude, you got to go get your award. He goes, they're loving you now, aren't they? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, so you had Alabama number one in the Way Too Early top 25, the latest edition, Georgia number three, and there is Texas A&M at number five. And I say this all the time, and it drives Aggies fans crazy. The last time they won a national title, Gone with the Wind was number one at the box office. I mean, it's been since the 1930s. What is it about this team that you think could finally change the history that has dogged them for almost 100 years?
it's got to be time. I mean, as much crap as Georgia took for a 41-year drought, I mean, Texas A&M is twice as long. And they're in Texas. We're all, they should have the pick of the litter with Texas. You know, I like Max Johnson, the transfer from LSU. He seems like a Jimbo type of quarterback. You know, got a strong enough arm, not going to make a bunch of mistakes and turnovers. He's going to be a pro-style quarterback that Jimbo likes. You know, they lose a bunch of dudes up front, the Marvin Leal, Tyree Johnson, Hansford at linebacker, Michael Clemens, their other defensive end. So but then he goes out and signs, what, 6 out of the top 20 players in the country, and they're all defensive linemen. So he's loaded up like Kirby did a couple of years ago to get that defensive line and to get the athleticism and the depth up front. And, you know, it's going to be a couple of years before those guys reach their full potential. But, you know, I still think they're a notch below Bama, and even though they beat Bama last year. But I think the top 3 teams are still head and shoulders above everybody else, in spite of what Georgia lost and in spite of what Bama lost. And Ohio State's got to get better on defense, but I think A&M's right there on the second tier.
Well, you got those 3 teams, and we're on the SEC Network, so I'm going to keep it there for a second. You got those 3 teams, Mark Slaybaugh in the top 5, and we don't see another SEC team in your way too early top 25 until we hit 20, and then there's a bunch of them. You got Arkansas at 20, Ole Miss 21, Kentucky 22, Cincinnati 24. Any of those teams capable of making a surprising run and crashing the party of those top 3 by the end of the year?
Yeah, maybe Ole Miss. You know, in hindsight, maybe Ole Miss is a little bit too low, probably closer to 15. But they lose Matt Corral, they lose Ely, they lose Sanders. Kiffin's done a fantastic job in the portal, brought in Zach Evans, the tailback from TCU, who's really good, Jackson Dart, who's been good in limited time at USC. I mean, even some of the defensive pickups, the linebacker Troy Brown out of Central Michigan. I mean, he was a 3-time All-MAC selection, really productive. I think he's going to be one of their better players on that side of the ball. They picked up the safety out of TCU, who's going to be good for him, Tennyson. You know, he loses his offensive coordinator, who went to Oklahoma, Jeff Levy, but brings in Charlie Weiss Jr., so that'll be interesting to watch. But, you know, Lane's going to score some points, and I think they're going to continue to get better on defense. And, you know, probably right there below Texas A&M.
Well, Mark Slaybaugh joining us now. You're talking about the SEC West. Over in the East, John Adams on this show yesterday, and several people talking about Hendon Hooker. At Tennessee, you had Tennessee at 24, Kentucky at 22. I keep thinking Florida might be better earlier than people think. It's not like they don't have players. They just had a coach that didn't want to be there. What's the East going to look like behind Georgia, do you think?
I'd still go Georgia, Kentucky, and Tennessee. And I agree. I think Billy Napier is really, really good. I think it was a great hire by Scott Strickland. I think they'll be more disciplined. I still think on both lines of scrimmage, they're behind the upper tier of the SEC. You know, Tennessee brings back the quarterback, Hooker, bring back Jabari Small, the tailback, Cedric Tillman, the receiver, the slot receiver left. You know, Cade Mays leaves on the offensive line. But I just think for what Heupel and his staff inherited a year ago, after Pruitt was fired and all those dudes left, you know, to pull off a 7-6 record and go 4-4 in the SEC was probably one of the more underrated coaching jobs in the country. Road games at Pittsburgh, LSU, Georgia, South Carolina. You know, you probably, if you go 2-2 in there, I think you can get to 10-2, 9-3, which would be pretty good in Heupel's second season. But, you know, as I wrote in the column, with what might be coming down to the through the pipe from the NCAA because of rules violations under Pruitt and his staff, you better get it while you can if you're Tennessee.
Yeah, no, the question. All right, outside of the SEC, I'm looking at Utah 4. I mean, we're going crazy over here about NC State sitting at 7, Michigan State ahead of Michigan, What's the team outside of the SEC that you look at on this list and you're like, I mean, Utah at four, I get it, but it's the Pac-12, so a lot of things got to fall into place for them, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've got six guys coming back on offense, six on defense. The quarterback played really well last year. They lose Devin Lloyd, the star linebacker, who's going to be a first-rounder. I mean, like I said earlier, after the top three, it's a crapshoot. I mean, I pretty much drew Utah out of a hat.
Yeah.
Had A&M, I think, four in the first edition in January, but the chances of there being three SEC teams in the playoff are pretty slim. You know, Notre Dame's got a bunch coming back. I like Marcus Freeman, you know, in spite of the second half of the bowl game. NC State lose Ikey at offensive tackle, lose the two tailbacks, but I think Devin Leary's legit Heisman Trophy candidate. Probably would have won 10 games last year if their bowl game hadn't been canceled. Dave Dorn's caught heat there, but I think they got a really good nucleus coming back, and I think the ACC's wide open. I got Clemson at 11, probably the most talented team in the league, but lose both coordinators. Venables going to Oklahoma and Tony Elliott going to Virginia. And I just – as many problems as they had on offense last year, I just don't know if you flip a switch and fix it 1 year. But we'll see. And, you know, DJ Uiagalelei lost 25 pounds, but Klubnik, the freshman out of Texas, pushed him throughout the spring, and I think he'll continue to push him if he makes mistakes early in the season.
Speaking of pushing it, where are you on the course right now? Are you putting while you're talking to us? What's the situation?
No, I pulled over in the shade in a golf cart.
Oh, okay. I was like,
I have enough respect for you. If it was Paul, I would have just kept playing, but it's McGee, so.
See, that's why we're friends right there. All right, Mark Slayball, thank you, man. Go hit him straight and beat that Alabama guy.
Appreciate it. Thanks, McGee. Have a good weekend.
All right, buddy. There you go.
Thank
that's
you.
Multitasking. They said, hey, yeah, it's Thursday. He said, have a good weekend. It's Thursday. He's on the golf course at 4:28. A quick reminder.
His weekend's not started.
He lives in Athens. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's the weekend there longer than it is in most places. So, there you go. They asked me earlier. They said, hey, he was going to do this. Now he was going to be on TV. Now he's going to call in. I'm like, because he's on the golf course. Mm-hmm. He's on the golf course. The Way Too Early Top 25, the latest edition is on ESPN.com right now. If you don't like what he just said, or you do like what he just said, call us 855-242-PAUL. It's Ryan McGee sitting in for Paul, y'all.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Paul Feinbaum is going to Las Vegas. next week, the 28th and 29th, that would be a week from today and tomorrow, Paul Feinbaum live from Las Vegas for the NFL Draft, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on the SEC Network and on the app. And where do you think – you know what, I'm going to throw this to the control room. Boys, where do we think that Paul Feinbaum, who doesn't actually eat food, where do we think, like, he goes – to, like, eat and or hang out in Las Vegas?
Smoothie King.
Do they have, like, a neon Smoothie King?
They got a Smoothie King with a casino.
The Bellagio Smoothie King.
The Bellagio Smoothie
King. Yeah, the Bellagio Smoothie King. That's where he's going to go.
They get that peanut butter meal replacement.
They sell adult Smoothie King smoothies in Vegas?
Well, they might get freshen it up.
Yeah, the Bellagio Smoothie King. That's the answer. Yeah, I haven't been to Vegas. Vegas was like one of my last big trips before COVID. Yeah. Went and hung out with Rudy Rudiger.
Really?
Rudy. Yeah. And I wonder where Rudy. I'll tell you this. So Rudy was like, hey, he lives here by Coach. Hey, Coach, I'm gonna take you to dinner, Coach. When's your flight, Coach? I'm like, I'm on a red eye tonight. Oh, great, Coach. Gonna take you to a great place for dinner. I think you're gonna love it. It's right here by the house. P.F. Chang's.
Man.
Yeah.
I was going to say Popeye's.
It's P.F. Chang's. It was I wanted to tell Rudy, you know, there's one of these next to the house, my house,
yeah.
Around the corner from the house. But, yeah, so there you go. If you're looking for Paul, he'll be with Rudy down at P.F. Chang's getting an adult smoothie.
A rice bowl.
A rice bowl. Yeah, that's what Marty eats all the time. Jim in Florida's on the line. Jim, what's up?
Hey, Raymond.
Yeah, that's me. That's me.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, everybody loves Raymond.
I got to tell you how much I enjoy you and Marty on a Saturday morning, man. Y'all get my day going.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. We're just talking about Marty.
Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate that. No, it's we say our demo is like the dad's going to get the donuts. So if everybody's out running errands and doing whatever else, we appreciate that.
Yeah. Hey, well, let me tell you, talk a little football.
Yeah.
Big Georgia fan, man, been all my life, and watched the red and black game this past weekend. And quarterback situation doesn't look too bad, man. You know, Beck, Stockton, and the other dude now, brain dead. But anyhow, Vandergriff.
Yeah.
Man, isn't looking too bad. The one thing, though, I worry about is, you know, everybody just keeping their head together, and I hope Bennett starts throwing over linemen's hands instead of into linemen's hands. That's just something that's a concern. But love my dogs, and love watching you and Marty on Saturday morning, man. Y'all keep it up.
Hey, thank you, Jim. I appreciate that, man. I like those calls when they call in and say that they like Marty and McGee. Pam in Louisiana's on the line. Pam, how you doing?
I am doing great today. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And my mood just got better just with the tone in your voice. I appreciate that.
Well, you need to come down here and eat some crawfish. You know it's crawfish season.
I know. Well, yeah.
No, I was calling because my husband and I were watching TV, the South Carolina spring game, and you were waiting for the coach. He passed you by to go with the alumni for a minute, and you stood there so graciously. But I thought that was so neat when he came back and y'all talked, and then when that segment of the game ended and they were going to the other end, he invited you to go with him.
He did.
I just thought that was the neatest thing, and was that a normal thing to do, or you were just honored?
No, well, so full disclosure, we were just talking about this during the break. I was on vacation last week. I was at Disney World. And I got a call.
Oh.
Unfortunately, the woman who was supposed to be the sideline reporter on Saturday night had fallen ill. Mm-hmm. And so they called me on Thursday. I was literally in line for, like, Space Mountain. And they called and said, hey, could you work this out? And I was going to be home anyway. So, yeah. But then I got there. And, like, hey, you can walk out on the field and talk to Coach. I'm like, great. And I've known Shane Beamer forever. He's the class act of class acts. His father, Frank Beamer, same way. The mother, too. But I didn't know I was going to be running around on the field with him the whole game. And so that part of it, I didn't I would have worn different shoes, I think is what I'm trying to say. Because I was running,
Well, I just thought that was so neat that he invited you to go to the other end, and it's like you were an assistant coach or something,
That's right.
You think that he would be concentrating on all the plays and what the players are doing, but I just thought that was really nice, and I'm sure you enjoyed every minute of it. So.
I did, Pam.
That's
and I appreciate you saying that. I'm going to come down there and get some of those mud bugs from you soon.
Do that. We'd love to have you.
All right. Thank you so much. Yeah, so honestly, I didn't know. Like, I knew I'd be able to walk out on the field, and I had seen some other spring games where they had the coach mic'd up. And, again, I have a great relationship with Shane Beamer. I think he's a class act of class acts. But when he – people have given me a hard time because – he took off running, and I did not. And everybody's like, you're in terrible shape. I'm not in great shape, but I'm not in terrible shape. I didn't know. He goes, come on, McGee, let's run. And he took off. And I wasn't 100% sure where I could go at that point. We were like 2 minutes into the game, but it was awesome, and I appreciate it. But it would I've been on college football sidelines since I was 12 years old. In fact, my dad will be on the show later, and we'll talk about that. But being out in the middle of the field – I was literally standing on the Gamecock logo while Spencer Rattler was playing right in front of me. In fact, he got sacked, one of the quarterbacks got sacked and fell right at my feet. But it was a little trippy. I kept waiting on somebody to walk out there and go, sir, you can't be out here. Yeah. But what a perspective on the game, though. I mean, it was crazy, even in a scrimmage. It's just the speed of it. That's what's changed. Again, being on sidelines my whole life, that's the part of it that's changed the most. Is everything's just so fast. It's so fast. And but yeah, I appreciate Shane Beamer living and running around with him, even though he is 100% in better shape than I am. Yeah. There's no question about it. That's not even an argument. But when he took off and left me, that wasn't because I was a little scared. I was like, I don't want to get clocked by some football. I don't want to get run over. Bubba in North Carolina's on the line. Bubba, what's going on?
What's shaking, Ryan McGee?
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Go Big Orange. I'm glad Paul's got a VFL filling in for him today.
There you go.
Hey, I watch you and Marty, or I watch you and Marty Smith about every Saturday, but I do have a crow to pick with you. I call in there and sit on hold every Saturday, and I never do get through.
All right, I'm going to look at – sorry, Bubba, I'm going to get you. I can see – where you calling in here? I'll get you on next time, I promise. But do you?
Hey, at least Paul will talk to me. You guys keep. I drink a pot of coffee waiting on y'all every Saturday morning.
Well, all right. So make sure on Saturday, if you call in, make sure that you tell Mikey C, the producer, all right, this is Bubba. Ryan promised he'd put me on the show, and he'll put it on the screen.
Oh, I'll tell him. I grew up down the road from Marty anyway.
All right.
I'm dying to give him a hard time.
Well, I
heard him talking about having his buddies call in just to hear him talk. Well, I talk just as bad as they do.
Well,
that's obvious. But
the quickest way to get me to take a caller is if they promise they're going to give Marty a hard time. So there you go.
Oh, I'm going to give Marty a real hard time. The only reason I had never been on Hillbilly Headlines is I haven't been caught yet.
There you go, Bubba. I would expect no less.
Hey, I got a question, football question.
Okay.
Why do they continuously pick Kentucky ahead of Tennessee in the East? They're coming to Neyland. They're going to get their butt kicked. And all I hear is Kentucky behind Georgia, Kentucky behind Georgia. It ain't happening, Jack.
Yeah, I'll say this. And I've said this to my in-laws, to my college roommates, to my wife. Anybody wants to ask about it, I say, listen, I understand that Tennessee is working to be back where they were, 20 years ago. And they're trying to get back to – they want to get to the tier where Alabama and Georgia are. And the example I have used over and over and over again is that's fine, but for right now the goal needs to be Kentucky. And Tennessee fans would like to hear that. But the reality is Kentucky
wins. I agree. But still, Tennessee still treats Kentucky like Florida has treated Tennessee in the last 10, 15 years.
Hey,
Tennessee has had their number. Even when Tennessee sucks, they usually beat Kentucky.
When I was in school, they were in the middle of that 20-year streak against them or whatever. Hey, man, I appreciate the call, Bubba.
Yeah,
I promise I will talk to you on Saturday morning. There he is. That's a promise that I intend to make. And I intend to promise to y'all that the show will continue to roll along. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show. Give us a call, 885-5242-PAUL. I'm Ryan McGee sitting in until they tell me that I can't do it anymore.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Weird. Hey, it's Ryan McGee sitting in for Paul on the Paul Feinbaum Show here on the SEC Network. And I'm sure you got friends out there listening on the satellite radio. How's it going out there? And but yeah, I was I rolled my chair over, little inside baseball. I rolled my chair over and hit the little thing with the earpiece. I saw the animation. I'm like, hey, should I be hearing this? And everybody's like, oh, yeah, you should definitely be hearing this. They're like, I wonder why I wasn't talking to us. It's because I was
stuck up.
Because I'm stuck up.
Because it was raining. It wasn't Ryan at all sitting there.
No, I really I hit it with my knee. Mark was just saying, we were talking about, I'm going to see Billy Joel on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And apparently Mark was trying to contribute to that conversation.
And didn't get to.
And they're like, this jerk, he's
ignored.
Barely done 2 hours of the show, and – maybe that's why we hadn't had him in here in a while, because he's arrogant and won't talk to me. But that's not the case at all.
Yeah.
As far as y'all know, it was a technical issue.
And we'll just keep it right there.
Yeah. Jim in Gainesville's on the line. Jim, what's up?
Hey, Ryan, thanks so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, I'm probably the only West Virginia fan who's living here in Gainesville. And when you have your father on at 6 o'clock,
yeah.
I'd like you to do two things for me, if you will.
Okay.
First of all, I'd love to hear some humorous anecdotal stories he has about refereeing in the Big East.
Yeah,
and,
so many.
And particularly maybe some games in Morgantown.
Okay. No, he's.
And then the second question is, if you could ask him, and I want to put him on the hot seat a little bit. Does he think that West Virginia deserves and should be in the Atlantic Coast Conference?
Okay. Well, I can tell you, that you will. I'm writing it. I'm literally typing it right now, so I don't forget. But I can tell
All
you
right.
now, he has good stories and has a very strong opinion about what you just asked. So.
Okay. Good.
Yep.
Great. I'd love to hear from him. I'll be listening
okay.
for sure.
And you should pick
hey, listen,
up a
one
copy
more question I want to ask you.
Blubber.
I get the impression. Hello?
What do you say, Jim? Hey,
Marty, one more question. I get the impression your father had a career in higher education. Is that correct?
Yeah. Dad was a. First of all, I hate to be that guy, but you did just call me Marty, and I want you to know I didn't hang up on you.
Oh. Nope.
my real name is Raymond. All right. So my dad worked in higher education his entire career.
Okay.
Yep. He was college president. He was vice president of Furman University, vice president of Meredith College. He was president of Wingate University, just east of Charlotte for a really long time.
Okay. Ryan, thanks so much for taking my call.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. Mm. Yeah, normally, if they call me Marty, there's a big old button with a bit, it says drop. It's got a big X on it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Did you know, all right, Randy, appreciate this. You NASCAR guy.
Yep.
There was a driver in the 90s, early 2000s, named Johnny Benson.
Yep.
And back in the day, Johnny and I looked identical. Same haircut, glasses, the whole deal. And people call me Marty a lot. They don't think I am Marty because we don't exactly look alike. Johnny Benson and I look exactly alike, to the point that I was standing next to Johnny Benson at Daytona for the 500, and a fan walked up to me. Hey, Johnny, can I get your autograph? And he's like a teenager, and he's with his mom, and I wrote, what's your name, Bill? To Bill, your mom is hot. Sincerely, Johnny Benson. And Johnny took it away from me, so. There you go. No, it's yeah. I will totally forge Marty's autograph if anybody wants to ask me for that, because I'm Raymond.